Are you excited but nervous at the same time about investing in real estate? Are you confused about where to get started? Do you feel uncertain about your ability to invest in real estate because of finances, the market conditions, or not knowing enough? Hi, my name is Monica Sawyer, and I'm the host of the Real Estate Investing for Women podcast. I work with professional women on how to get started in real estate investing or grow their current portfolios. In this podcast, I will share my own strategies as well as those of many amazing experts so that you too can build wealth the blissful way. That means building wealth on your own terms, part-time, with very little stress. To get started, download your free report on my personal favorite strategy at blissfulinvestor.com. Today, I am so excited to welcome to the show Ryan Matthews. Ryan is an inspirational speaker, author, and decorated veteran who trained elite Army canines and then became a civilian dog trainer using his proven formula to train over 3,000 dogs. He earned almost $1 million in 2.5 years, and as a workaholic, his success was plagued by the effects of a childhood trauma and PTSD. At age 30, he was diagnosed with multiple life-threatening conditions. After a near-death experience, he felt like a failure. He decided to transform himself and share his story to help others to thrive. Author of The Canine Connection and Heal Your Dog, Heal Your Life, Ryan's mission in life is to share his gifts and talents to positively transform the lives of others. His TEDx talks are called Overcoming PTSD with Dog Training Techniques and Let's Treat Each Other More Like Dogs. Ryan, thank you so much for coming to the show. How are you?
Oh, I thank you. It's my pleasure for sure. I'm doing great. I'm excited to see what we get into, and I just love your energy, so we're going to have a great time.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you. So ladies, you're probably wondering, why did I invite a dog trainer onto our show? So I went to something called the New Media Summit where I was an icon of influence. Right? And I went there to meet other guests to bring some more interesting topics to our show, right? And Ryan stood up, everybody pitched, and Ryan stood up and he did this amazing pitch about dog training. And one of the interesting things that he talked about was dog psychology and human psychology. Now, many of you know that I've got little Pomfret, my cute little Pomeranian, who is the true love of my life, but don't tell my husband. But anyway, so of course I was attracted to this person that had such a beautiful passion for animals, but was able to translate that passion also to help us humans, because our animals, as many of you know, our animals are such a big piece of who we are, our heart and our lives. So that's actually what attracted me to Ryan. But then, as it turns out, he has quite a lot of experience in real estate. So it's perfect. So that's why I brought in this show. So we're going to talk about dogs, and we're going to talk about psychology, and we're going to talk about real estate. So ladies, hold on to your seats. This is going to be a fun one. So Ryan, why don't you start by talking a little bit more about the real estate side of your experience?
Well, geez, you know, I actually never lived in a home growing up. And so I've always been intrigued with real estate. And I've always thought that real estate is like the top or at least the second way to building wealth. And even since I would say high school, I was intrigued by real estate investing and learning what it was about and cracking that code. And I hadn't yet invested into real estate, but I was always so interested in what would it take for me to get my own home one day? And more importantly, how could I get people to actually pay for my properties? You know, what does that look like? And so I just went down that rabbit hole of due diligence and research and Robert Kiyosaki, Real Estate Investing for Dummies, and, you know, a bunch of things in between. And I gotta say, there's a few things in life that really light me up. And one of them is helping people. Another one is dogs. And real estate is another one. I have a hard time shutting up about it because I love it so much.
Yay, I love that. And we're going to get to hear about some of the interesting things you've done. I can't wait to share that. But let's start this conversation by talking about sort of dog psychology and human psychology. Like, how do they relate to each other?
Well, I got to tell you that this is something that I've only recently discovered. You see, Monica, I've been training dogs since 2002. So I'm kind of dating myself there. I've been doing this for quite a while. And it wasn't until recently, it wasn't until a couple of years ago where I really began to go deep within myself, where I wanted to really transform the essence of who and what I am, where I could, you know, step into my authentic self so that I could show up as a better human being. And as I began to learn more about myself and move past these traumas and PTSD and these multiple things, I began to look at how do I train dogs for all these years, how I've been doing it, and then how does that equate to what I've been doing for myself with my healers and psychologists and these types of people. And I found some correlations and it absolutely blew my mind. But what blew my mind even more was when I had talked to psychologists and said, hey, this is the way you can train any dog. And by chance, does this work on people too? Because to me, it kind of seems like it does. And I have psychologist after psychologist endorsing that, yes, this method known as RCTR also works on people. And that just blew my mind.
So what is RTCR?
RCTR.
Oh, sorry.
No worries. And so that's the secret to train any dog. And I talked about it on the first TEDx talk, which you had mentioned. And it stands for repetition, consistency, timing, and reward. And if you'd like, I can break it down even more so.
Give
them the juiciness. Yeah. Okay.
We want the juiciness.
Yeah, of course we do. So the first one is repetition. Now, when you're teaching a new behavior for a dog, you need to repeat the same behavior over 100 times. You do it over and over and over so it gets locked into the animal's brain. Well, this also works on us as it relates to habit, right? And so if we want to create a new habit, we got to go to the gym over and over and over repetitiously if we want to build muscle. If we want to acquire whatever property we're seeking out, we need to repetitiously do the due diligence. We got to stick with it. If we just dip our toe in it, we will get that effort back. And so by putting forth the repetition and the effort into our animal, our real estate investing, or our personal growth, we then get great rewards. And that's going to be later. And so the first one is repetition. The second one is consistency. Now, if I just do a little bit of, say, due diligence as it relates to investing, well, I'm probably going to get some mediocre results and information, so I can't really make an informed decision about an investment. And the same holds true with the dog. Now, dogs will respond far better to us when we are a consistent leader, when we're reliable. And, you know, this is also related to staff, right? We want people that we can rely on, that are consistent, and then their trust is formed, right? And so the first one is repetition. The second one is consistency. And in the talk, in the TEDx talk, I had mentioned that, you know, consistently be authentic, consistently be vulnerable, and then consistently do your best. And from a human perspective, I think that really relates. And then, so the third one is timing. Now, for dogs, in order for a dog to know exactly what we want from them, or even what we do not want, we know from science called Pavlov's Law, this study that was done in the lab where the dog would salivate when it heard a bell, we know that we have 1 second to correct or praise a behavior. So timing really matters for the animal to make the connection of what we want and don't want. Now, what's so fun and interesting about timing is, we must hit the timing at the appropriate moment as it relates to an investment, right? The timing must be there. We have to have that on board, right? Especially if we're trying to get a deal. Or if you want to launch a product, the timing must be right. The market must be ready for what it is that you're wanting to launch. And by the way, for your significant others, the timing also matters on when you have these vulnerable conversations. Are they in a receiving mode? And so you see how timing is a really fun thing to play with on how really valuable it can be for us. Mm-hmm. And thus far, we have repetition, we have consistency, we have timing. And the last one, when you've applied all of that, you get the reward. You get the animal starting to do the things that you want. Now, the golden rule with rewarding a dog is really quite easy. It's you just reward whenever impressed. Okay, so for those of you that have dogs at home, probably about 45% of you to 50% of you do, is you just give your dog a high value reward whenever you're impressed with what's going on. And the other piece is we get rewards, whether it's from behaviors from our significant others or the rewards from the investments, whether it's monetarily or doing a good deed, whatever that looks like. We get those rewards when we are consistent We are applying repetition, and we're also taking the time on multiple factors, taking the time out for ourselves as well. And so when you do all of these things, you get these rewards. So that's RCTR, repetition, consistency, timing, and reward.
Okay, awesome. I love that. So of course I have all the stuff I want to input. Is that okay?
Of course, I welcome it, please.
Well, because I'm going to use your acronym or whatever. So you're going to have to remind me. So the first one was repetition, right?
Got it.
Okay. So ladies, this is sort of how I relate this to my real estate business, right? Because you know that I'm full-time, but I'm the full-time, not full-time person, right? I write work 5 to 10 hours a month, which is not full-time, but I don't do anything else. Well, I podcast, right? That's really fun. I do other things, but I consider myself as an investor full-time. Repetition for me is repeating a process enough that I can create a system that then when I need to repeat it again, I already have the repetition built in. So, and let me tell you what I mean by that. I buy one property a year. I don't buy a lot, right? But when I'm in buying season, usually it's around October for me when I start shopping, I have systems in place so that I know what I'm looking for, what my numbers need to look like, what my contracts are going to be, what kind of things I'm going to post for new tenants on Craigslist, all of those systems. And then I go through that process again, but the repetition comes in again. So there's that piece. I've created systems through repetition, right? But there's also the piece of, I might make 30 offers before I buy a property, right? So that repetition is sort of getting to know, it helps me to understand what's going on in the market, what pricing is looking like, what contracts are being required, what contingencies are needed, what's going on in lending, all of those things, because now I'm consistently or repetitively watching, I'm learning with each new offer that I'm making. And then that leads into consistency, right? Is I'm consistent about when I buy, how I buy, and what systems I use, right? So that consistency comes in with that. But the consistency also comes in how I run my business. And what I mean by that is, all of you who are listening, you know that my tenants basically run my properties. I do executive homes, they run my properties. Part of that is because I consistently train them and I consistently react in a way that they can count on. So they know who they're going to get when they call me. They most of the time know the response they're going to get when they call me. And they can completely count on the fact that I'm going to be reliable for them, I'm going to stand up for them, and that I'm going to give them the very best job that I possibly can. But also I have a high expectation of them. So I'm super, super consistent. I show up as exactly the same person every single time. So I'm super reliable for them, right? What was the next one?
The next one is timing.
Timing is such an interesting thing because the way that you spoke about it, Ryan, was, you know, the timing has to be perfect in order to get the right deal. For me, timing is more about giving myself the time to be right. So I buy each year at a time where I think the market is going to be good. In the fall is a good time to buy, right? Winter is even better, but I don't like to be dealing with that stuff during the holidays. So I'm usually dealing with it in the fall. That doesn't mean that it's the best time of year necessarily to get the best price, but if I can get a good enough price, then I give myself the time to be right. I allow myself the time that this market can cycle, the property has time to go up. I'm not trying to make a quick buck this year or next year or even in 5 years. I'm giving myself time. So that's kind of how I utilize time. And then the other thing is, how valuable is my time in my lifestyle? Like I said, I only work 5 to 10 hours a month on this business. It's important to me that my time is held sacred for me and that only a little bit of it actually goes to this business. So that's kind of how I utilize time. And then reward, obviously the cash flow is a reward. The appreciation is a reward. And I will say that my husband and I frequently, when we get a new property, we'll go out and we celebrate. And when we get new tenants that we love, we'll take them out and celebrate, right? So there's a lot of opportunities for celebration through the process. It's kind of built into the process. It brings our tenants closer to us. David and I stay more engaged in the process every time we're buying a new property. So there's a lot of rewards that happen along the way. So that's kind of how that fits into my business. Does that make sense?
I love that. I think that's great. And I love that you take your tenants out. I hadn't heard of that. So I love that a lot.
I have a real interesting relationship with my tenants. And that's part of the process that I teach of sort of how to create relationships so that the properties sort of take care of themselves. And then right. I'm not having to manage them, right? Even though they're all self-managed, quote unquote. So anyway, so yeah, that's a piece of kind of what I do. So
I love it. Super brilliant. I could see how there's so much more buy-in and loyalty and, you know, they definitely want to pay on time and these types of things. So I could see how everyone could feel really rewarded on both ends for sure.
That's exactly true. Like I think I've only in maybe 25 years of having rental properties, I've only had rent late maybe 5 times in 25 wow. years. My tenants stay with me between 5 to 10 years. They don't damage properties. They don't fall out of lease. I mean, it's, you know, they don't break the lease by bringing in an animal when there's no animal on the lease, right? You know, like they talk to me first before they do things. So it really is wonderful.
It sounds like an incredible process that you'd use to onboard people.
I do. That's yeah. true.
I can hear that. I forgot to tell you on the pre-show is that I used to do property management as well. Sorry, I forgot to tell you that. So I am familiar with a little bit of that process through diligence and all that kind of stuff. And for me, it's kind of fun.
Yeah, that's amazing. You've got like so much experience around this. It's awesome. So tell us, I want to hear about how you buy properties. You were talking about you trade stuff. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, that's... I love that title, right? Getting property by trading stuff. And really that's what I've been able to do. I've always, like I said, I've loved real estate since I was a teenager, but I didn't always have the capital to get into it, but I had some stuff. And one of the things that I have had is like, I usually have about 5 cars and you know, it reaches a point where you're like, well, I can only drive one at a time. So like, do I really need 5 cars? Right. And I began to flirt with this idea. Let me think of the first one. The first one was I had a large F-350 truck and I would tow a huge 38-foot RV with it. Well, I didn't have a need for either of those two things anymore. I bought them that because I wanted to go and chase hailstorms and do painless dent repair, meaning popping dents on cars. And I got greedy. I learned you can make like $250,000 in like 4 months doing it. Right? Chasing hailstorms, right? So I was like, I'm going to get this big truck and drive to Texas and Oklahoma and chase these hailstorms and pop dents on cars and make $250,000 in a few months. Well, my body couldn't handle it from the war and all this other stuff. And I just, you know, I couldn't do the 14, 16 hour days. So nonetheless, now here I am stuck with this big old RV and this big old diesel truck, and I don't really have a need for it. And so I began to flirt with the idea of, I wonder if I could get some property, some real estate for this stuff. And so I just started to do a search online. And from that rabbit hole, I met a gentleman that said, hey, I'm interested in trading my land in East Tennessee for your truck and your RV. Do you know anything about East Tennessee? I'm like, I'm a West Coaster. I don't know anything about Tennessee. And what can you share? He said, well, I want you to do a Google research about the Smoky Mountains and the tourism, specifically in the Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge area. And I had done so. And what I found was remarkable. I found that 6 to 11 million people visit this area annually. I learned that this area is strategically about 6 hours from any major city in the South. And so this is a huge vacation spot. And so I went to the area, being this West Coaster from LA. I never left California until I went in the Army at 19. And, you know, I would just gasp, Monica, when I saw it. It was just so beautiful and green. And I was just really drawn to the area. And the property didn't work out. I brought and I just applied common sense. I had never built a property, a structure on raw land. But I just got with a developer and said, hey, can I pay you to come and look at this plot of land and what your thoughts are to build on it? And the gentleman said, you don't want this. This is too steep. You're going to spend too much money. And it was very valuable. And so that didn't work out. But what it did do was it opened my eyes to this area. It opened my eyes to the potential of the area. And then as soon as I had visited and I had boots on ground, I knew that I was going to buy something there. I just had to figure out a way. And so I didn't end up trading that truck and RV for that property. But what I did do was I went to North Carolina and I got 3 different acres on 3 different lots of land, 5 miles from the ocean by Wilmington, North Carolina. And I traded the truck and RV for those properties.
And wow. So,
yeah.
That's amazing.
And there's more though. So I also was in a really horrific ATV accident back in 2007, I believe. This is an accident that nearly killed an ex-girlfriend and I. I drove an ATV over a mountain cliff and I was very reckless and we were both very lucky to survive and she had a really tough time. And the relevancy is that I was very afraid of motorized vehicles after that ATV accident. Well, I'm a big believer in let's overcome our fears. And so I bought a motorcycle and I let it sit in my garage for 3 years. And eventually I worked up the courage to take motorcycle classes. And I said, I'm going to master this. I'm going to overcome this fear. And so I took those motorcycle classes and then I rode this motorcycle for 6 months. I no longer had the fear and I no longer got the sweaty palms with the idea of riding a motorized vehicle. And then I was like, well, I have this nice custom bike, but I don't need it. It's just stuff. And so I was like, how can I get rid of this motorcycle? And then I'm like, huh, okay. I got rid of the truck and the RV doing this thing. Maybe I could do the same with the motorcycle. And I did. So I have property in Lake Arrowhead, which is by Big Bear in Southern California. I traded a motorcycle for this land. And then the property next to it was for sale, or it became available because I did some research. So I bought both properties. I traded one for the vehicle, for the motorcycle, and I bought the other one cash so that I had a bigger plot of land. And it backs to like the National Forest or BLM, if I remember right. And so that was really cool.
I've never had someone come on the show and be like, oh yeah, I traded a truck for land. I did this thing, like, and it's good property. It doesn't sound like it's dumpy property.
Oh no, these are nice. So there's another one. I had this Lincoln Navigator, this business car. It was full, like, you know, really cool pimped out Lincoln Navigator, like 22 inch rims on it. Really nice custom paint job, custom grill and all this stuff. And, but I put a vehicle wrap on it for World of Dog Training, one of my businesses. And, you know, I'm in Southern California. I'm like, man, gas is too expensive. I don't like hauling this big old car around. And I was like, I think I want something smaller and something different. And so I wanted to get rid of this Lincoln Navigator. And I'm like, I don't really need the cash, but I just want to get rid of it. I'm like, so what can I do? I'm like, come on, you know what to do. You've already done it before. And so I started the process again, doing the research online. And I found someone by Mount Shasta. And so I have an acre in Northern California by Mount Shasta in the forest, beautiful, beautiful area. I got an acre of land for this Lincoln Navigator as well. And so I think that, you know, just sometimes find a way for what you want, right? And be creative and curious.
So what are you going to do with all that property? What's the plan?
So I'm in the process of selling two, but I'm definitely going to keep the one in Northern California. I got it sight unseen. So I want to go visit that property soon, actually. But essentially, North Carolina is up for sale, and so is the Lake Arrowhead property right now.
Okay, awesome. Very, very cool. So what would you say, tell me about this vacation rental. So I know you did end up buying something in Tennessee, right? So let's tell us a little bit. I know that it has been this incredible, wonderful cash flow thing for you, right?
It has been, it is, yeah.
So yeah, tell us about that.
Exciting. In fact, so I'll just share this. Like, I'm very raw, very open and transparent. I just talked to my CPA yesterday. We were going over some tax stuff and he said, tell me about this investment again. He's like, what are these numbers? And so he's based here in Southern California. He deals with some wealthy people and things. And he said, he's an older guy. He's like, I've been doing this for, I don't know how many years, 30 years. He's like, I've never seen numbers like this. And I was like, really? I was like, I don't know any better, man. It made sense. And I just kind of went after it. And so I'm not the most, you know, well-versed or intelligent investor quite yet, but I just wanted to share that even this guy was like, man, this is beautiful. He's like, you need to swoop up more of those properties. And so, yes, I eventually ended up buying a cabin in East Tennessee, Monica. But before I had done that, I did some due diligence and I was like, well, what does this market want? What do the top performing places have? And then how do I have the same thing? And so I call that cracking the code. And I think it's important to crack the code at whatever we want to see great results in. I've cracked the code in dog training and you've cracked the code in real estate. And so I just try to crack in the code on what do these vacation people want when they come to vacation rental in this specific area, because it will also vary depending upon region and the country and what the attractions are and stuff. And so I just began to go down that due diligence process and then having the vision and then just making it happen. And so that's really all that I've done. And so it includes a variety of things. I can share that now or I can share that later. But that's been a huge part of the success for sure.
And so you bought this place for $139,000.
Correct.
Correct. And you've been making $60,000 a year annually. Yes.
Yeah, I grossed $60,000 year one. Year two, I did $59,000 gross.
Nice. Okay. There's so many questions that I have, and I know that we were going to talk about some stuff specifically on Extra. So what we were thinking about for Extra were the five things people look for in vacation rentals, right? In that area, and then how to get top dollar for the property. But I'm also really, really curious on this whole idea of cracking the code, because really to me what that sounds like and what I know I have done is kind of reverse engineering a market and then buying based on what you reverse engineer into, right? Is that kind of what you were talking about? So give us a little bit more on your process around that.
Yeah, so it started with, again, like researching first what's out there. And so then I began to look at like which properties were in high demand. And then I would look at the trends, like, oh, they all have this. Look, every single one has these arcade things. Okay. Obviously, that's what people want. And then I would call multiple property management companies, because that's what I have, manage mine. I don't really do anything at all. Is I would ask them, I would say, hey, what do people want? And I would ask multiple people, what do the vacationers want, over and over and over. And then I just got the consistent feedback from people that unrelated to each other. The only thing that tied everyone together was vacation rentals in the area. And so then I did that due diligence prior to investing into the things that I thought made sense to make my property stand out.
Okay. So here's a really, really interesting tip, ladies, is he basically started calling property managers around the area to find out what people want. This can translate for everything, whether it's a vacation area or resort area or just someplace, you know, here in California where I live, it's really expensive to invest, right? So I might start looking out of state at properties, right? If I were to do that, that would be another strategy that I could use, right? Is call property managers and find out how are properties doing? What kind of vacancy rate is there? What are people looking for? What's standard in the area? What, talk to me a little bit more about the areas. You know, what are people looking for? What kinds of rents will come if you do different things? Do you include appliances? Do you not? Do you need a basement? Do you not? You know, all of those sorts of things. A property management company is going to know that. So that's already a strategy that's been talked about on this show. But what I really love about you is that you called several property managers. I know most of us are like, I don't even want to call one, right? And so you get the guts up and you make that phone call. What if you called five? Because then you're going to get it's not just an opinion. You're going to get consistent responses, right?
Yep. It's a mild science, right? And that's what I look for. And, you know, I'm busy like a lot of us. So I just make these calls while I drive, right? Mm-hmm. I don't even set aside the time. I'm just doing it in between as I'm transitioning from something and like driving to the gym. Or maybe I'll call while I'm walking the treadmill before I start running it at the gym, right? And just like find creative ways. So like, I think that Robert Kiyosaki said it really well. He's like, don't find reasons why the deal can't go through. Find reasons for how that the deal can go through. And so it's also related to excuses. Like, I'm not going to make excuses why I can't. Like, I need to find a way, because I love real estate. And so it's very exciting. And so there's no time for excuses. I got to find a way to make it happen with my schedule. And I think you hit it right on the nail, is that it's essentially becoming more like science, because we're doing more than one. And so, and you know what's so beautiful for all of that, for your audience to know, is that then we have a newfound confidence. So when we put that money out there, we can have better faith in what we're doing.
Yeah, because we've proven ourselves right before.
Exactly.
Yeah. How do you deal with negative thoughts when you're about to make a big decision?
Oh, wow. Well, now this is a very deep question. And so is it okay if I share how I've been able to remain cancer-free for the past 9 years? And this is related to negative thoughts. Okay, great. So this is my technique, everyone. And so you will need to create your own technique specific to you. Now, and when I'm 39 now, but at the age of 30, I had stage 3 colon cancer. And I had these obtrusive thoughts, Monica, every single day, probably hundreds of times a day. You're going to get cancer again. Over and over and over, I heard this voice and it became haunting. And I figured that there had to be a way I could release this, because I didn't want to have these negative thoughts. as you had just said. How do you get rid of negative thoughts? Well, I created what I call the game. And for me, the game is essentially having this thought. And so I'm part Italian. And so I incorporated that. And then I incorporated some childhood things. Okay. And so here's my process. So let's just say that right now, and for the record, I'm a very visual person, so this helps. But I have this thought of, I'm going to get cancer. I don't want to have that negative thought. So what I do is I picture that word of cancer, and I see the feeling and the emotion tied of this cancer. And it goes to this Italian butcher, okay? And this is kind of like old school. I have an old school soul. And this word and this feeling goes to this Italian deli for the butcher. And the butcher wraps this feeling and this emotion up. And I hear the sound. I'm seeing it get closed and sealed. And that's important. So now I'm detaching from it, right? And so now it's sealed. And he wraps it in this butcher paper and puts tape on it. Well, now it's there, but it's still there, but it's detached. But I want it to go away. I want that negative thought to go away. Now, how do I release it? Well, now I tap back into childhood. And it was, I don't know why it was memorable, but I remember being in fourth grade. We had wrote a note and we attached it to a balloon and then we sent it off, right? And we were hoping someone would respond or something like that. And now when I share this, it bothers me because I'm really big into the environment. I'm have a total hippie side. I remember I had a fear. I had a fear that nobody would respond. I had a fear that no one would care. And months had passed and I had given up on the fact that, oh, no one responded to my postcard and my balloon. And then I got a response. Someone had said that they'd received my postcard and whatever. And I felt so rewarded from that. And so the point is, I take balloons and I tie it to this word and this emotion that's wrapped in this butcher paper. And all these balloons get attached to it until there's enough balloons to make it lift up into the air. Just as I had watched the balloon float away until I could no longer see it as a little kid. I do the same thing. And so I see that word and that feeling and all of that cancer float away, drift away, and then I no longer can see it. And then that thought came back, I repeat it over and over, and then that thought, that negative thought, no longer comes to me. And so when you said, Ryan, how do you address negative thought? Monique, I've had to become one of the masters in this because, you know, cancer, heart attack, many things, I've had to find a way. And so I encourage people to find their own game and their own way on how they can release negative thought, but that's how I do it.
So interesting. I love the visual of the balloon kind of carrying it away.
Yeah.
So yep. I've actually used that too, but that's a whole other story. But I love the balloon visual for me.
Awesome.
To take things away from me. So in sort of a playful way. I love that. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, I'm happy to share it. I hope it's valuable to people because really we don't want to become from a place of decision-making, from a scarcity mindset, from a scared mindset, from a negative mindset. So I think that's a very important point that you had brought up is how do we rid of those negative thoughts? Because we all have them. We just, people don't like talking about that we have them.
Exactly. Well, and they are held captive in our mind, right? We don't release them. So they're there and they just, like you say, they can be very haunting, you know?
Yep, so, absolutely.
Yeah. So thank you so much for sharing all of that information. And I'm really excited about continuing the conversation in Extra. And like I said, we're going to be talking about, you know, what people look for in a rental property, you know, according to you, where you've got your property. And then also how to get the top dollar for a rental property. Because I know that you've had very consistent success. Is that true?
It is so true. I mean, year one was 60, year two was 59,000. So it's pretty consistent starting out the gate, really. So yeah, for me, this stuff's super exciting and fun to talk about. So I'm really excited to share with your audience. Let's do it.
And during COVID, did you see a pullback on your cash flow from that property? Just out of curiosity.
Slightly, but we're already at, I checked last month was like 25 days occupied out of, I think it was 28 days.
Okay.
29 days, sorry.
Great. Yeah. Okay, very, very good. So that's been consistent. So, and ladies, I know that you know this, but I pre-record shows so that I have time to take vacation and stuff like that. And so this may release a little bit after, but right now we're recording, it's in July. So Ryan is talking about June. right? Is that true?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, good. So just so you have perspective on sort of what he's talking about. So he had a pullback, I think, for just 1 month, he was saying.
That's right.
Okay. Perfect. Yay. So we're going to be talking about how he gets that top dollar in a rental property. And hopefully that'll be really valuable for you ladies. And we're going to be doing that in Extra. But before we close this part of the show, Ryan, how can people reach you?
Sure. On social media, it's at I am Ryan Matthews. And they can reach me at worldofdogtraining.com as well.
Perfect. And I know you've got a gift for my ladies. Could you tell us about that?
I do, yeah. So this is really exciting. So again, after 18 years of doing dog training, I've compiled the big secrets I'm sharing with people day in and day out for $500 a lesson right here in this download. So it's the 10 Dog Secrets. And so it's a bit.ly link / 10 Dog Secrets.
Perfect. And that link will be in the show notes. And, you know, kind of like what Ryan just said, 45 to 50% of people have pets. Most of them are, most people have at least one dog, right? So this is really, really good information if you have a dog and you're interested in helping to train that dog to be your perfect companion, right? Training makes such a big difference with our animals. So that's really...
And they want it too. Which is fun. They
love it, right? It provides stability for them. Mm. It provides connection for them. They feel like they're doing something, which is what they want to do. Our training time with our puppy is some of the funnest time we have together because they're so excited. I just love that.
It is. It's great bonding, like you pointed out.
Yeah, that's awesome. Awesome. So are you ready for our three rapid fire questions?
Let's do it.
Okay. So Ryan, tell us one super tip on getting started investing in real estate.
Do the due diligence and don't focus on how it can't work. Focus on how it can work. So do the research and then take action.
Ooh, I love that. And then how can someone be successful in real estate investing?
So that's a matter of doing the research and making sure that it feels good. You got to do the homework. You got to do the due diligence, and then find a mentor. Find someone that has already been proven to be successful and pick their brain, but not just one, more than one, so that it's becoming more science. Find the trends, just like some of the other stuff we've talked about. And so that's very important, is to have someone that you can run things by. And then once you have the data, take action, make it happen.
Got it. And what would you say is one daily practice that contributes to your personal success, Ryan?
That's meditation. Absolutely. Yeah. Meditation has been a game changer for me.
How often and how long do you meditate?
I meditate twice a day typically, but I'll be honest, guys, I'm not perfect. And so overall, twice a day is best, and 20 minutes is what I do.
Wow. That's awesome. Well, thank you for that. Yay. Ryan, this has been such a fun conversation. So different than what I've had other times on this show. So this is cool. So fun. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And ladies, you know, we've got more. Ryan's going to be sharing tips on how to maximize profits on a rental property that's for vacations, right? So vacation exactly. Homes. So I'm really excited to share that with you in Extra. So if you're subscribed to Extra, stay tuned. We got more for you. If you're not subscribed but would like to be, just go to realestateinvestingforwomenextra.com. You get the first 7 days for free in that subscription. So you can check it out, see Ryan's Extra, and download a bunch of others and binge on them. And then you can decide if it's for you or not. So go to realestateinvestingforwomenextra.com. If you're leaving us now, thank you so much for joining Ryan and I for this portion of the show. You know how much I appreciate you, and I look forward to seeing you next time. And until then, remember, goals without action are just dreams. So get out there, take action, and create the life your heart deeply desires. I'll see you soon. Bye. Thank you again for joining me on the Real Estate Investing for Women podcast. If you love this show, please subscribe, rate, and review it on iTunes. As women, we need to support and empower each other to build wealth and live joyful lives. Your support of this podcast by subscribing, rating, and reviewing it will help other women just like you learn about building blissful wealth through investing. And remember to download your free report so you can get started on your investing journey at blissfulinvestor.com. See you next time.